Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is November 25th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me to discover the truth beneath the surface. And because it is Thanksgiving, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. But because it's Thanksgiving, I have a bit of time this morning. So I decided I would hop in my car and do what I love to do, which is to drive around and to share my thoughts with you, the audience. And it really is a wonderful blessing. I was thinking just a couple moments ago about what Thanksgiving is all about. Of course, it's all about gratitude. It's all about giving thanks. And I can remember at one point in my life, I was introduced to this concept of a gratitude list. And this is something that's, you know, fairly popular. People talk a lot about it around Thanksgiving. But the idea of, you know, making a list of things, actually physically making a list of things that you're grateful for, in essence, in a way to, you know, to reshape your brain and, you know, retrain the way that you think to be more positive. And I actually did it. And I can remember it was a really interesting experience. And, you know, I did feel that kind of shift, at least temporarily, while I was doing this, I guess you could say, just, you know, kind of experiment or exercise to shift my brain to get me to think more positively. And it really did work. But that's not really ultimately the point. The point that I'm making is that now I don't have to make a list anymore. I actually feel a sense of gratitude more strong than I've ever felt in my entire life. And it's really all because of the Patriots out there. And I can tell you, I've had a difficult week. And I think in some of my previous episodes, I've talked about, you know, issues that I'm having at work, issues that, you know, are related to this insane season that we're in right now, becoming more and more personal to me and starting to feel the effects of more and more. And, you know, as time goes by, I just don't have the ability to put up with the BS in the same way that I did in the beginning. And I think that's really it's starting to really have an effect on my life in terms of pushing me closer and closer to the precipice in my own life. And I really think that, you know, when we discuss this idea of the precipice of destruction, I think that there's different levels of that. I think that it's on an individual level for each of us. And then I also believe it's really kind of that tipping point, you know, where enough of us reach that precipice at the same time or around the same time to be able to turn the tide in our society. But this is a very, very difficult time that we're going through right now. And I've had, you know, over the past couple of days, this, you know, these mandates, I'm not going to get into specifics for obvious reasons, but, you know, these mandates and these authoritarian, you know, type people have really gotten to the point where it's just out of control. And I think that, you know, in the beginning of this whole situation, like I've said before, so many of us went along, we did what we've always been trained to do. We went along to get along. A lot of us really were compliant because, in large part, we didn't understand what was going on. And there was a genuine fear factor there before we really understood what was unfolding. But obviously, over the past couple of years, we've had this incredible learning experience. And we've become conscious of all of these things that have gone on that we didn't know in the beginning. And every single day we're learning this more and more information just cascading at us about the dangers of being compliant with what they want us to do. And I think that's that kind of vice, that pressure vice that I certainly can only speak for myself ultimately, but I venture to say that many people probably be right there with me that I've been experiencing in my own life is that I just simply have gotten to a point where it's harder and harder for me to keep my level of resistance in check to the point where it's not going to be disruptive to my life. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's getting harder and harder for me personally to go along with this insane mask mandate. You know, where I am right now, and I understand that there are people all over the country and all over the world who are dealing with varying degrees of this. Some people live in areas, you know, God bless them, that they don't have to worry about the mask mandate anymore. But where I am in certain areas and where I work, I do. And this has been a reality that I've had to deal with now for quite some time. And as time goes on, it's gotten harder and harder for me to even fake compliance with this. I think that's really what I was doing for a while there is, you know, you just kind of wear it as a chin diaper and you do that. And I did that for a long time. And I think that eventually it caught up with me in the sense that, you know, the authoritarian types there, like I've been talking about, they just can't handle the fact that I am still exercising some freedom and pulling down my mask when I feel it's necessary for me to take a mask break, basically just, you know, operating like a normal human being, despite the fact that I even have the thing on to begin with. And the only reason I have it on to begin with, as we all know, is so that I can at least somewhat function in the building and be able to earn a living. But once I was at one point in time, it was easier for me to go along with this, and now it's not. And, you know, there are obvious consequences that go with refusing to comply. And, you know, this is really something that I want to hone in on a lot because I've been thinking about it. And I think this is something that, of course, all of us are at different points in our awakening. All of us we have different stories, but I think all of us have at least one thing in common in terms of our awakening process and our spiritual development. And that is that at one point in time, we found it necessary to rise above the fear of consequences. Now, obviously, consequences exist in all different forms. There are positive ones, there are negative ones. Right now, what we're talking about specifically are the perceived negative consequences of not conforming to this evil system, or speaking out against it. Or I guess you could probably just put it this way in its simplest terms, is just exercising the ability to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what the mandate says. I don't care what the administration says. I don't care what any of these so-called authority figures say and what authority they claim to have. I am a sovereign human being with inalienable rights from God, and I am going to say no when you give me some sort of an order that is contrary to everything that I believe in and that is antithetical to freedom. I am going to say no. And I'm not going to worry anymore and obsess anymore and stew around in fear anymore over these consequences for saying no. Because the reality of the matter is that, like I said, consequences exist on all sides and from all angles. And no matter what choice you make, there are going to be consequences. And all of us are living right now with the consequence, or the consequences, I should say, of going along to get along and not learning to say no. And the reason that we didn't learn to say no was because we were too afraid of what would happen. We were too afraid of interrupting our comfortable little lives, which aren't really comfortable in essence. I mean, when you think about what our lives could be and should be and will be, our lives are basically hellish compared to the way we were intended to exist, to live. The entire structure of our lives is completely the opposite of what was intended for us. And yet people are just so ingrained in this ideology that nothing could ever change and that they should be grateful for living a life ultimately of quiet desperation. We've been locked in this mentality for such a long time that we've been enslaved inside this cage of fear. And the point that I'm making here is that we're the ones that hold the key to get out of that prison. Because ultimately, yes, the cabal and the devil really built this prison around us with our consent, but we have the power to be able to extricate ourselves from it. And it's very, very simple. The devil and evil holds power over us through fear. And everyone out there is contending with that fear right now, I think, to one degree or another, and contemplating it. They're realizing how corrupt and evil this world is and this system is, and all of these different places that they thought actually had some decency and integrity. Coming to find out, I mean, everything is getting exposed right now. God is making it so that everything is getting exposed right now, and everybody is revealing who they really are, where they really stand, what they really stand for. And all of us are contemplating in our heads right now what to do. What direction? I mean, of course, us, myself and the audience, we've already made our choice, but there are a lot of folks out there who I think are still on the fence in the sense that they know, and they're coming to realize more and more that something's genuinely wrong with what's going on and all these different categories in the world, but yet they're contending with that fear that they've always been controlled by. Well, what happens if I do say something? What happens if I do say no? What happens if I do speak out? What happens if I do say and speak the truth and people won't accept it? And all the, you know, all of these different mechanisms of fear that they've ingrained inside people's minds are being contended with right now, I believe, on an individual level. And I believe that more and more people every single day are getting to that precipice of destruction in their own lives and realizing what's at stake and realizing that the fear of the consequences that's holding them back is, that's the key. That's right there, the lock they and they alone with God's help can unlock by walking through those fear of consequences and just simply saying, no, I refuse to comply. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say you're going to do. I don't care what you do. I don't care if I have to lose my job and go through a period of financial insecurity. I don't care if I have to go through whatever it is that I've got to go through to maintain my sovereignty, my freedom, my rights, my dignity, and to protect what's ultimately sacred from myself and from my family. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to do that because that's what history is calling on all of us to do right now. That's the responsibility that we've been given as a generation. Now, God saw fit to have our generation be the ones that would ultimately change the world. And that's, of course, not to suggest that the groundwork hasn't been laid by past generations. How many times have I talked about that? We've gone into the history. But ultimately, it's going to be us. We're the ones who were chosen for this. And that's an amazing, amazing blessing. And it's an amazing, amazing responsibility that we've been given. And to be able to know that by doing what we're doing right now, coming together as a digital family, talking about everything that's going on, sifting through all of the information and disinformation and trying to put the puzzle pieces together, trying to get at the truth together, that process that we're engaged in right now is changing the world. We really are the tip of the spear in the sense of the awakening of humanity. And more people are realizing that once you overcome that fear, everything starts to change. That's when I believe that God really starts to take over in your life. Now, once you have made that leap of faith, and not just believed, but known that ultimately if you jump, God's going to catch you. If you're jumping in his direction. Once you've done that, that's when God really comes into your life and really starts to make the impossible possible. And that's when real change happens on an individual level and on a collective level. And so all of us on our own individual journey, all of those journeys, like I've talked about before, we're all starting to filter off of our own individual roads that we've been traveling that have been very lonely, very painful all of these years. All those roads now are starting to merge into one, and we're walking together. We're coming together. And we're realizing that it's that's really important. It's not the job. It's not the life that you have. I mean, listen, am I suggesting that I'm not grateful for my life? Of course, I'm not suggesting that. I know how much better life should be, but that doesn't mean that I'm not grateful for the things that I have. But folks, the truth of the matter is that it's not my house. It's not my job. It's not where, excuse me, where I live. It's not any of those things that are the most important. Of course, my security and all of those things are important, but I believe that all of those things ultimately come from God. And what's really important is exactly what they're trying to strip away from us, what they have stripped away from us, our humanity. The way that we were intended to exist, the way that we were intended to be amongst one another, not pitted against one another, but actually loving one another as brothers and sisters. That's what we're doing right now. Sure, this is a podcast, but what it's doing and what so many others like myself are doing is we're starting conversations, we're putting information out there, we're sharing our experience. And in that process, people are responding and they're coming together and they're sharing their experiences. And in that process, people are developing relationships and genuine bonds and caring for each other. And in that process, we are introducing love into the world and goodwill at a level that this world really has never seen before. And we are the ones who are leading the charge, because we've already made the decision and continue to make the decision every time we're presented with that choice of whether or not we're going to conform or whether we're going to stand out. We realize that, like Jim Caviezel said, you know, we were not born to fit in. We were born to stand out. We were never meant to conform. We were always meant to be the ones that stood out, that didn't, that led by example. And most of us, as I've talked about before, we've gone through our entire lives never imagining or thinking that our lives and our experiences and what was in our hearts ever really had any grand significance. And then suddenly the world started to shift in this direction. And everything that happened over these past couple of decades has led us to this point. And I think most of us never imagined that we would be living in a world like this, and never would have imagined that speaking the truth and standing up for the truth would really define heroism in our lifetime. Because I think many of us, myself included, grew up taking for granted this concept that people want to know the truth, and logic and common sense was always going to be there. It's always going to be the center that held everything together. I mean, I always believed that. I didn't grow up thinking that I was going to find myself one day a digital soldier in a psychological war. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that. And all this time that I've gone throughout my life and I've had all these different experiences and experienced so much heartache and disappointment and disillusion with this world, I was led to believe that it was all because, well, I just simply didn't fit in and could never really find a way to make things work in this world. I always just kind of looked at myself as a misfit, quite honestly, because I was, and I still am, but I didn't understand as I was going through my life, I didn't understand that that's a badge of honor. I didn't understand that being well adjusted to a corrupt, evil, sick, twisted world is that's nothing to brag about. In fact, not fitting into that world, not fitting into that system, feeling that constant inherent rebellion, that flame inside of me of resistance to something that I knew was there that I didn't even fully understand, but I knew was there and I knew was wrong. I had no idea how significant that was going to be, those feelings and that passion and that relationship with God that was developed over all those years. I had no idea the significance that it was going to play later on in my life. And I know that all of you feel the same way. All of you are beginning to understand now the things that you never understood about your life before. You look back on your history and you realize the lessons that you learned, the experiences that you had to go through to become the person you are right now, was so that you could be the person that you are right now, for right now, for this period. Because you either chose like Gene talks about, you made a decision that you were going to come back here, or other people have a different belief or persuasion that God chose them. But either way, a choice was made. And I think that as we go through our lives, of course, the way that life is designed, the way that God made it, is that it's a journey. It's a process of discovery. It's a process of self-realization. And for all of us, that process has been very, very painful. It's been very dark because we were never intended to fit into this world. That's why it always seemed like everything was stacked against us, because it was. And it was always intended to be. And yet we were always intended to find our way regardless of that. And against all odds, we were always intended to seek out direction from God himself. And that's what all of us did. We all gravitated away from what everything that they told us to believe, everything that they preached to us. There was a part of us that always knew that it was false, and that something more beautiful, more deep, more true existed. And probably what's most important is that we never, ever gave up on ourselves. We never gave up on what we believed in. We never gave up on humanity. And that's why it's so important that at this time period right now, when everybody is feeling emotionally drained and battle fatigue, and really so many folks out there are at the point where they feel like they just don't really have much more to give in terms of their patience and their ability to continue to have faith. That's why it's so important, I believe, to talk about the whole grand scope and scheme of this life that we've lived, and understand and remember how it is that we got here to begin with, how it is that we found this path and why we chose this path and this journey. It's very, very important to do that when we get into these final phases, because in the final phases, and I believe that we're in them now, the intensity level is just going to continue to get ratcheted up, and there's no way to predict when that tension is going to finally either boil over, or whether it's finally going to hit that tipping point that we're hoping for, and we're going to see circumstances change all around us very, very quickly. But we've all been wandering around, and we've all been searching for the truth for a very, very long time. And I believe that we're closer now to the truth. We're closer now to justice. We're closer now to everything that we've been seeking our entire lives than we've ever been before. The reason that we're here right now, the reason that we've come this far, is because in our own lives and on our own personal journeys, we never gave up on ourselves. We never gave up on the truth. We never gave up on the passion that was burning inside of us. And so we need to remember, as I continually say, how we got here and what led us to this point. And realize that if we lose faith at this point, and if we give up at this point, well, then we will have forsaken every experience and every struggle and every pain and every lesson that we had to learn in order to get here in the first place. So it's entirely vital that we continually hold the line the more difficult things get. But we do need to learn to say no. I mean, the more insanity that we witness, the more people will push back. For some people, the question remains, what will it take to finally start saying no and to take a stand based upon principle? Will it be going to the grocery store and finding no food there? Or going to get gas and paying $100 to fill their tank, or checking their bank account and finding their savings are gone or worthless? Or being told they need something in their arm or plastered across their face in order to work and in order to earn a living? I mean, I've discussed recently how folks are reaching their limits at different times. And when they reach the jumping off point is largely determined by both the details of their personal situation, really their finances, the strength of their convictions, and the degree to which their individual freedoms have been infringed upon. And in my personal journey and looking back, I realized that now, although I had been in principle opposed to this evil force all along, it took a series of personal experiences while I was confronted with the realities of this tyranny head on, before I was able to find my courage and to rise above the fear of consequences, which I'm now finding out is the key to real freedom. Being able to finally stand up and say no to this false authority and to trust in your resistance to tyranny. And in that resistance, to trust that God is going to protect you. And like I've continually said, don't just believe that he can, know that he will. And for a lot of people, that's really what it all comes down to. It's rising above fear. And we see what's happening. We recognize that there's a problem in the world. And like I've said, for most of us, that recognition occurred quite some time ago. And we find ourselves principally opposed to this authoritarian force. But as we're coming to find out, being opposed in principle means nothing if we fold when those principles are being put to the test. And I think a lot of people wanted to believe that they'd be able to remain opposed in principle and that no sacrifice or risk-taking would be a prerequisite to ascending into this new level of consciousness. Because many people wanted to believe that the cavalry would arrive before they were forced to make difficult decisions based upon the principles that they lived by. At least I wanted to believe that at one point. I didn't initially want to accept that by the time this was over, my life would have to change, perhaps drastically, in order for me to remain true to myself. But you see, we've become so indoctrinated into thinking that the consequences of speaking up and standing out are to be avoided at all costs because it threatens our security. And in some ways, that's true due to the economic debt prison that they've set up for us. But the truth is that most people live out their lives in fear. And they never recognize that the very sense of security, which really is an illusion, that the system has us afraid of losing, is the heart of the prison itself. And that it's only when we abandon fear of consequences in this corrupt system that we realize our true power hinges upon faith. That we're always going to be protected. And we're always going to be provided for so long as we remain true to what we know to be right. And I believe this is where we are right now. And with every passing day, the necessity of making a personal choice is becoming more and more clear. Either you stand up and you become a vocal supporter of truth, logic, and common sense, or you choose to remain living in fear and hence get swallowed up by the systemic evil all around us. And if people want their children and their children on into the future to live a life of freedom, of dignity, of self-respect, and now is the time to stand up and be counted. This really is the Red Sea moment, folks. And as people get pushed to their limits, they find out who they really are, what they really believe in, and how far they're willing to go to stand up against evil. And I can tell you from personal experience that once you finally had enough, when someone or something encroaches on your sovereignty and attempts to usurp your free will, in exchange for your ability to go on comfortably living in fear, well, at that point, a transformation happens within you. Your faith, which was always inside you, buried under years of conditioning and silent weapons and social engineering, begins to emerge. And when that happens, life is never the same again, because you experience a sense of peace amidst all the uncertainty, amidst all the unknowns. You experience a peace that transcends any comfort you've ever known, because you've taken a step toward God. And when you take a step toward him, he takes three giant leaps toward you to be sure that you have the confirmation you need to let you know that you're on the right track and to keep going. And in that moment, when faith transcends fear, an individual is reborn. Their spirit is rejuvenated. their mind quiets, their body begins to heal, and they can understand for the first time the difference between believing in God and knowing Him. It's trusting that He's going to lead you from one moment to the next, and He's going to make sure you'll always have what you need, because the Lord never turns His back on righteous hearts. And He has great sympathy for what we have to endure in this world. That's why, in my belief, He sent His one begotten Son. And many people have said that once you know God, you no longer know fear. And that's because fear is a liar that gets exposed when confronted with faith. And while it may be true that we may never be entirely without fear as a part of the human condition, it begins to lose its grip on us when we stand up for our principles in spite of the fear of consequences. But the important thing to understand is that a choice needs to be made. Do we give up our identity to fear, or do we conquer fear with our identity? And all of us as patriots know what our identity is. We are children of the living God. You see, God gives us everything freely once we prove our loyalty and worthiness in a series of trials and tribulations that we like to call life. All of its preparation, and has been for this moment, which most of us have lived a good portion of our lives, like I said, never imagining we would live to see days like these. And here we are. I think more and more every single day about the incredible responsibility that we've been given, and that God Himself saw fit that our generation would be the one that rose up and changed history forever, for generations of humanity that would follow, for thousands of years. And that when our backs were against the wall, against all odds, we did our part to turn the tide against evil. And every single time, each individual person out there finds their courage and takes a stand, this is exactly what we're doing. We're turning the tide against evil. And in our resistance to tyranny, we find spiritual freedom from it that enables us to ascend to higher levels of consciousness. But the more I think about it, the more I realize that ascension is a gift. It's not a given for everyone out there. Despite the fact that I believe it's inevitable for humanity itself, I truly believe that right now, the choices that we are making truly will dictate our lives into the future. And there are a great many of people out there who will not be making the journey with us because their choices prove they lack the spiritual qualifications to exist in a higher density. The times that we're living through, while already pivotal, are going to increase in intensity to such a degree in the coming days and weeks that all of us, if we haven't made a choice already, we're going to be forced by circumstances to do exactly that, that God is going to allow scenarios to unfold that are so increasingly intense for all of us that we'll be forced to unveil who we really are before Him and before everyone else. I believe that God is not only getting ready to move against evil, but He's allowing the persecution of His children to varying degrees, so that when the flip finally happens and the truth finally floods into this world, His oppressed sons and daughters will be able to rejoice in their vindication and be raised up in the new world as heroes who bravely fought for the truth and for righteousness in a world surrounded on all sides by enemies. We chose the path of spiritual warfare, and I believe we will be rewarded richly by our Father in heaven for having done so. And I also think that it's safe to say that not only does God have a sense of humor, He also has a flair for the dramatic. And what's more dramatic than a great comeback story? A reversal of fortune for the downtrodden in our world who dared to speak the truth in a world of lies, taken from being scorned and mocked and hated and persecuted to being revered as the heroes and the saints of their time. You see, I believe that God has big plans for all of us. We were brought together by chance and circumstance, but it's clear that had we not followed our hearts, our paths never would have crossed. We would have gone on living lives, like I said before, of quiet desperation, like most people learn to do, always yearning in our hearts for something more, but never having the courage to follow our voice wherever it leads. But we're not like most people. It's sad to say, but as I've gone through my life, I've realized that very few people truly have passion. And I believe that it's that passion that drove us to seek the truth in ourselves, and in that process, to find one another and to bond as patriots as deeply as we have and will continue throughout this process and this journey. But it's that passion that we have, which so many people lack, that we recognize as the truth inside us, raging against the circumstances we find ourselves in, desperately screaming for the reality we know we deserve. And as much as others try to convince us to be entirely governed by our fears, because in their ignorance, that's all they know, we understand that only those driven by passion ever find the fulfillment that they deserve. And to be honest, I have a great amount to be grateful for this Thanksgiving, perhaps more than at any other point in my entire life. And right up at the top of that list is discovering you. Because before I decided to take this journey, I never imagined I would find passion out there that equaled my own, and that in my heart, I would feel home for the very first time. This audience has changed my life and has not only reaffirmed the faith I had in humanity, but it's showed me that what's possible in life is so far beyond what I had ever imagined. I want all of you to know on this holiday that you all have my respect and my admiration. I've told folks this before, but you know me better than anyone. And you understand what's in my heart because it reflects what's in your own. And the Lord saw fit to bless me with the ability to articulate our shared experience. And I think, well, I can only tell you folks that I thank him daily for that gift that's enabled me to meet people who have changed my life forever. All of you have provided a new backdrop of love and support in my life that overwhelms me. So this Thanksgiving, please accept my love and gratitude for all that you do, for all that you stand for all that you are. I love each and every one of you. God's peace and blessings to all of you. Patriot out.